You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's a pass on the inbound of Portis. It sets up another three ball, and he delivers right in front of the Hornets bench.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Carter pulls up, elbow jumper off the iron. No good. Thanasis follows it with a two-hand jam. Oh, and that gets what's left of this fan base here at Fiserv Forum going. The Nasty.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Bam!
Well, certainly a much different feel tonight than we had on Saturday night. This was everything you were looking for on Saturday. You just got it 48 hours later than expected. A big win, an impressive win, a win you needed. But now it's a matter of doing a couple of these in a row, and that schedule does not do the Bucks any favors. We mentioned it a couple of times. The three games in the immediate future for the Bucks: home against the Miami Heat, on the road against the Chicago Bulls, and back home on Sunday against the Phoenix Suns. Those are the three games directly in the Bucks' future here. A brutal stretch of games in the month of March. We will dive into that March schedule. February cannot exit soon enough. The Bucks do finish with a winning record in the month of February, going 6-4 after a 7-8 month of January. Still just 13-12 in games played this calendar year. Not where you hoped to be, but if you can start to string together wins, it doesn't have to be 24-point wins. If you can start to string together wins with this schedule, I think that would put a lot of Bucks fans' minds at ease. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. We talked about your level of concern and panic for the Bucks Saturday. I don't know that this alleviates it all that much. What do you need to see for that level of concern to start to drop? More games like this or just a win streak? 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Greg Hill is producing the show. Before we check in with Greg, before we get to the stat of the game, let's head out to the phone lines and see how you're feeling after tonight's win. We start things with Jake in Waukesha. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, what's up, Justin? Thanks for taking my call. Obviously, nice win here for the Bucks. Just nice to see some shots fall down and a little bit more effort on the defensive end. I'd like to get your thoughts on what you thought from Javon Carter and DeAndre Bembry tonight. I thought they impacted the game in a positive way. I mean, just picking up guys full court like LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier, that just sets a nice tone for each defensive possession, and I thought they made some good impact plays on defense. And not only that, 16 points from both of them. I don't think we can rely on that consistently, but I think you got to look at this Bucks team post-trade deadline and post-buyout market and say that it certainly got better with the additions of Serge, Javon Carter, and Bembry. What are your thoughts on all of that in general?
Yeah, you certainly don't anticipate what you said of the offensive production from that duo, but I don't think you need it either. We've talked about this before, that the way the Bucks are currently constructed, it's in some ways, it's very different personnel, but overall, it's very similar to the 2018-19 season that Bud arrived, where that bench scored about 30 points a game. Right now, the bench is at just under 27 a game, and in the bench that year, George Hill was a part of it midway through the season. Pat Connaughton was a part of that bench. Ersan Ilyasova was a part of the bench. You didn't really have any guys that would step in there and score in double figures on a consistent basis. But what you did have was the collection of players that you said, okay, play defense. When we bring you into the game, if it's an 8-point lead, keep it an 8-point lead, or a 7 or 6 at least, or increase the lead if you can with your defense and getting stops. We're not going to hand you a lead and then all of a sudden the starters or a majority of them come back and, hey, the Bucks are currently trailing by 4 or 5. That was what that bench did. Pat Connaughton was a big part of that. And this year we saw some more punch offensively early. Same with last year. Bobby Portis brought that a season ago. But one by one, with the injuries and everything else that happened to this team, it just depleted your second unit. And games like Saturday, where the bench scored 13 points, that's become all too common for this team. If you're going to construct a second unit with guys like Carter, like Bembry, like Serge Ibaka that are in there to play defense, I think you can and will be successful. The Bucks just didn't have that before. They were kind of in no man's land where Pat Connaughton was the best defender that you had off the bench. Dante DiVincenzo, guys that were really slumping and struggling to score offensively and were just adequate defensively. That's why oftentimes we saw disastrous quarters. It's not the only reason, but that's why you saw a lot of struggles in the third quarter is there wasn't that identity. And what Jake brought up, seeing Javon Carter and DeAndre Bembry on the floor, you don't want to jump to conclusions after one game tonight, but the two games they've played together now in a Bucks uniform, you don't want to have too many takeaways from those limited minutes. But watching tonight, you could get the sense this is that identity that this team really had been struggling to find all throughout this season. When you have one game of Brook Lopez, you have Giannis and Drew and Chris and Bobby and Grayson and Allen all missing various amounts of the season with injuries and health and safety protocols, there was just no identity for this Bucks team, and now you can see the blueprint is there. We have Giannis, we have Drew and Chris, we know the record, we've referenced how good the Bucks are repeatedly when that trio plays last year, when they do it again this year, and as I've said, I will stake those three guys in the postseason over any collection of players that we've seen, even James Harden and Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. These are three guys you've seen do it in the NBA Finals, and in big moments in the postseason. I'll take that over anything else, provided this team can stay healthy and reintroduce some of those pieces like Pat and Brook. But now you're starting to see that identity again, and there were stretches tonight where you had lineups that were Giannis and Serge Ibaka in the front court, DeAndre Bembry, Drew Holiday, and Javon Carter. That five, that group of five on the floor together, I'm not going to call it the death lineup, but defensively, there's not a whole lot you can do against that defense. And we saw Charlotte really, really struggle with it. So as the schedule intensifies and as you have to face, not that the Hornets are not good offensively, but as you have to face more versatile and more balanced offenses, I am very intrigued to see how many minutes those five players play together and what the Bucks can get from it. And I think even playing small and swapping out Serge Ibaka at times, depending on the opponent, for Chris Middleton, you got a lot of defense out there. And if you've got that trio of Giannis and Chris and Drew, you got enough scoring that you can get by with Carter and Bembry being guys that, you know, aren't really a danger of lighting it up offensively. But tonight was step one. It was exactly what the Bucks needed to do. They cleaned up the biggest issues we saw from Saturday. But we've had this conversation a couple of times already this season. Good win, encouraging. You improved all the areas we circled with a red pen on Saturday and said this cannot happen. Now we got to see it more than once. And we got to see some type of win streak building here for the Bucks, because, again, this week is going to be big in terms of where the Bucks can expect to finish in the Eastern Conference. You have Chicago and Miami on the horizon. If you want to get greedy and say, hey, if the Bucks win both of those games, you've reduced the lead by Miami. If you win that game on Wednesday, you go from four back to three back, which is all of a sudden, okay, that's doable. Four is kind of on that cusp of, you know, that's a lot to make up, especially if you lose and you drop to five back. Realistically, hopes of winning the Eastern Conference go out the window, as you'll have 19 games remaining and five games to make up in that span. So if you win these two games against the Heat and the Bulls, all of a sudden you got a much different story in that Eastern Conference, because as of right now, it is trending towards, man, the Heat and the Sixers just keep rolling. Celtics have been hot as well. You got teams like the Bucks, the Cavs, the Bulls. They're all kind of in the middle of the pack. So a very, very big stretch for the Bucks here coming up this week. More to get to on that. As we mentioned, a stat of the game to get to as well. And what we saw tonight from Giannis is there was a lot of positives from the offensive game that Giannis played. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, if you want to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Wara at the top of the arc for the Bucks. He'll give it to Giannis. Giannis on the handoff to Holiday. Holiday's on the right wing. Bounce pass back to Giannis. Sees the opening and flushes it through with a one-hand slam. Oh, baby, that thing was beautiful. Giannis couldn't believe the opening he had in front of him.
Giannis did a lot of playing downhill tonight. He took 14 free throws. So the majority of his points came at the free throw line. But he was 6 of 8 on his non-3-point attempts in tonight's game. He was playing downhill. He was attacking. Nobody on the Hornets had an answer for him. PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, Plumlee, whoever it was, there was nobody that could slow Giannis down in tonight's game. And you heard some of the comments if you listened to the network postgame. You heard Mike Budenholzer when he addressed the media shortly after the game, talking about the way that Giannis played in attack mode tonight and just how important Giannis's overall game was tonight. That he did a good job, in the words of Coach Bud, did a good job quarterbacking the offense against the different looks that the Charlotte Hornets threw at them, and added, we need to continue to play this way. There are a number of things you can point to tonight and say, the Bucks struggled with this against Brooklyn. The Bucks struggled with this in countless losses this season. But they did it tonight. They cleaned it up. Work on the glass. 62 rebounds tonight. And the work that they did on the offensive glass in this one as well, turning it into 21 points. 17 offensive rebounds. 21 second chance points. Cross that one off. The Bucks won that column. Turnovers were a huge issue for the Bucks against the Brooklyn Nets. Cross that one off. Just 9 of them tonight. 5 points off those 9 turnovers for the Charlotte Hornets. And Drew Holiday especially. We got to highlight what he did. 8 assists, 0 turnovers. And the 1-2 punch, to get back to what our caller Jake had to say too about what Javon Carter brings this team. I think we saw it against the Brooklyn Nets where at times, we talked about this on Bucks Talk Saturday night, I wanted to see more Javon Carter in that game and the job he did specifically on Goran Dragic, picking him up, doing it again tonight, picking players up full court. Think about what that does to the backcourt, whether it was LaMelo Ball or Terry Rozier, whoever it was that Javon Carter was taking. If you got to deal with Javon Carter defending you the duration, the entire length of the floor, and then when he subs out, it's Drew Holiday that is defending you. That is no break that you have there. So, again, that five-man lineup, we didn't see a ton of minutes with Carter, Holiday, Bembry, Giannis, and Ibaka. But the minutes that we did see, that defense was nasty. So, again, defensive identity is what this team is all about. And we saw it in glimpses tonight. It's just a matter of bottling that and extending that. Really, really tough stretch of games for this Bucks team right now. And think about this, too. They have played 62 games. There are 20 games remaining for the Bucks this season. They're going to have to go 13-7, which seems like that should be very doable. But you got to win 13 of your final 20 just to hit 50 wins this season. And you still have 8 games. It starts Wednesday, but 8 games against the top 6 records in basketball. You got the Miami Heat. You've got the Chicago Bulls, the Memphis Grizzlies. We've mentioned it a couple of times leading up to March, but we're here now, February 28th. Tomorrow is March. 90 minutes from now is March. January and February were absolutely brutal for the Bucks. 13-12 since January 1st. The defense has been on a slide in the month of February. Coming into tonight's game, the Bucks had the 24th rated defense. Third best offense, but a defense 24th. In March, I think your goal, you got 14 games there. Ideally, you got to win at least 8. You would love 9-5. You would certainly love 10-4. And that's the pace this team played at the last few years. But at the very least, you got to win 8 games. Even then, you're making things pretty tough on yourself. So I should say, you want 9-5. It's going to be tough with what you got here. Wednesday is the first of 5 home games in March. Those home games are the Heat, the Suns, the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Washington Wizards. So of those 5 home games, only one team is borderline waving the white flag. Road games aren't any easier. Bulls, Warriors, Jazz, Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Sixers, and Nets. And by the time you play the Brooklyn Nets, it is March 31st. I think it's safe to assume Kevin Durant will be back. At this point, it's safe to assume. I know the governor or the mayor had said differently, but it's safe to assume by March 31st, Kyrie Irving is going to be a full-time player and would be eligible to play in that game. And Ben Simmons, you got to assume, leading into the postseason, just a couple of weeks left in the regular season by the time that game rolls around, Ben Simmons is probably going to be there. So you are likely to catch the Brooklyn Nets at full strength. A brutal stretch of games here for the Bucks, but you got to see that defense move up from the 24th rated defense they were in the month of February. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. And by the way, DeAndre Bembry and Javon Carter, two pretty good guys to help improve that defense. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. 14 games in March. We just ran through the home slate. We gave you the toughest games on the road slate. I suppose we should point out you also have the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings in those road games. So as we look at March, Thunder, Kings, Wizards, those are basically the easy games that the Bucks have. And if you take it a step further, Thunder, Kings, Wizards, and Hawks, right now those are the only sub 500 teams. 10 games against teams 500 or better in the month of March. You got 14 games. It's a brutal, brutal stretch of 14 in March. Toughest remaining schedule in basketball is what the Bucks have in front of them. How many games are the Bucks going to win in the month of March? And taking it a step further, what do they need to go in the month of March to restore some of the confidence if your confidence was shaken by what we saw in January and February up until tonight? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Stat of the game we'll get to after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
He'll pass it the other way, off to Harrell. Harrell in transition, blocked by Giannis.
Give me that.
Another block from the Greek Freak, who's got 4 of them tonight.
Thanasis
the other way. He lays it in. He was looking like he had bad intentions and then decided, let's just lay this in.
He just said, I'm not as tall and lengthy and athletic as my brother. I'm just happy to get the 2.
All right, I believe if my spreadsheet is accurate here, Greg, and I'm the one that puts it together, so it better be accurate.
I was going to say.
the Bucks tonight finished with 25 assists, and you've heard it here on this program repeatedly throughout the season. 25 is the magic number for the Bucks. When they finish with 25 or more assists in a game, the Bucks are now 23-1 this season. 25 assists tonight, 8 from Jrue Holiday. So it's as simple as what every high school and middle school basketball coach told you as a youngster. Pass the ball. Move the ball. Get open looks. Move the ball around, and you'll win the game. And that certainly has been the case for the Bucks this season. 23-1 when they get 25 or more assists. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. The 25, the 23 wins. We could cheat and use that as our stat of the game. We won't, though. We'll find something else. Time to check in and reveal what that stat of the game is.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Free throw shooting, to me, is what stood out quite a bit. We mentioned all the things the Bucks cleaned up from Saturday. Turnovers, free throws, rebounding, all of it. They did a much better job but especially at the free throw line. At one point tonight, the Bucks were 26 of 26 at the free throw line. And then, look, I'm not here to throw any shade at any of these players, but if you were clamoring for more minutes for Javon Carter, your case became stronger when Lindell Wigginton was the one that broke that 26 for 26 streak in the game tonight for the Bucks. They hit their first 26 free throws before ultimately finishing just 6 of 11 down the stretch. Basically what we saw against the Brooklyn Nets, but 32 made free throws tonight for the Bucks. 32 of 37. Second most free throws they have made this season. 32, which they also hit in a loss to the Toronto Raptors in mid-January. And 33 was the most, which they hit against the Orlando Magic in one of those blowout wins at the end of December. 37 free throw attempts tonight is the second most they've had this season. 38 is the most, and those 38 came against the Brooklyn Nets Saturday night. If you're thinking, yeah, it feels like that happened recently. It did. Also hit 37 against the Orlando Magic. So they're taking a lot of free throws of late, but tonight they made a lot of free throws. At one point, 100% at the line. They finished 87%. And the free throw success for the Bucks tonight is our stat of the game. 130-106 victory tonight for the Bucks over the Charlotte Hornets. I will not lie, this is a game I was very concerned with coming into play tonight, that it's a Hornets team that has really played the Bucks tough. Not just this year, where they've won two of the three matchups, and the one loss the Hornets had was, for a long stretch of this season, the only close game the Bucks had played in, where Giannis hit the eventual game winner. Miles Bridges missed what would have been the three-quarter court heave, Ben Bruss-esque shot that rimmed out at the buzzer. That was their one loss. Charlotte's played them tough this year. The Hornets, remember, gave the Bucks some embarrassing losses last year. There was that one stretch specifically where you had ugly losses to the Hornets and the Pelicans on consecutive nights in January. Hornets played them tough 2 years ago as well. The only game, I was talking about this the other night, last night, actually, on a different podcast, we were discussing and previewing this game, and the only time that I could think of in the last 2+ years that the Bucks played the Hornets and it wasn't a close game or a frustrating loss was the game played in Paris, France, just before the world shut down in 2020, where the Bucks beat the Hornets in that Paris game. That's the only one that came to mind. Otherwise, James Borrego, the job that he has done really building that culture in Charlotte, LaMelo Ball has become a star. There's a lot of nice pieces here in Charlotte. And the Hornets, the way they play, you know, as we mentioned, the things the Bucks cleaned up, those are the things that the Hornets are going to capitalize on. Before the game, James Borrego spoke at length about, you know, this is a defense in the Hornets that overall, it hasn't been good this year, but in the month of February, we talked about the Bucks' defense being brutal and their offense being great. It's been the opposite for the Hornets this month. Defense has been the fifth best defense in basketball. Their offense led down to 24th. But James Borrego specifically said, look, we looked at it as this. We can't fix everything. Certainly can't do it overnight. We got to stop the bleeding here. So we got to pick some things we know we can impact. And if we win these columns and these categories, our defense will improve. And those things that he referenced specifically were rebounding. We got to take away second chance points. We got to take away those opportunities. Focus on the glass. That's the biggest point of emphasis for us. Limiting threes. And what he referenced specifically, coming into the game, I was wondering, who are the players they're going to target? Because the way James Borrego put it, do a better job on threes. Take away a few shooters a night. We know we're not going to take away all threes that a team attempts. We know if we go against the Warriors, we know Steph Curry's going to get his threes. But what we got to do is make sure those guys that are fifth or sixth on the team in three-point attempts and makes, those are the guys that don't beat us. Those are the guys that we target and take away. And hearing him say that, you wondered, okay, well, who is it they're going to put the emphasis on? There was no one, really, that you could point to. Bobby Portis took 7 threes. Chris Middleton took 10 threes. Drew Holiday took 8 threes. Grayson Allen was the one you were thinking, well, they're going to limit shooting, and they're going to say we're going to pick and choose who we limit it to. The obvious has to be Grayson Allen, right? But Grayson Allen took 6 threes tonight. Even Javon Carter, some of them were in garbage time. Javon Carter took 5 threes. So the Bucks did a good job going against those things that the Hornets said, hey, we're putting an emphasis on this. We're going to take away some of the threes. Bucks took 45 threes tonight and hit 18 of them. We're going to put a heavy emphasis on rebounding to make sure we limit second chance points for the opposition. Didn't do that either. 60-plus rebounds tonight for the Bucks. 62 rebounds, 17 on the offensive glass, which they turned into 21 points. And they wanted to limit dunks and layups. Again, just like the passing figure, every coach tells you, hey, no easy ones. James Borrego said the same thing. No easy ones. No dunks, no layups. Those are the three things we're going to put an emphasis on to clean up. The Bucks won all three of those categories. The Bucks have not routinely won those categories this year. Brook Lopez isn't the only reason why, but Brook Lopez is a big reason why. But also, turnovers. How many times have we talked about the Bucks just turn the ball over too much? Drew Holiday finished with 7 turnovers. Chris Middleton had 5 turnovers. Not to just single those two players out, but those are the games we can remember. You cannot turn the ball over against this team that plays as fast as the Charlotte Hornets do, that plays in transition as much as the Hornets do. You give them those live ball turnovers, and you're handing them 2 points, essentially. The Bucks did that in a lot of the recent matchups between these two teams, and they didn't do it tonight. There was one difference tonight versus the previous 3 games played between these two teams. We'll dive into that. And also, Giannis' stat line, it may carry some added significance. I'll tell you what I mean after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Holiday wearing the white headband, going the other way for the Bucks. Dribbles between his legs before he tacks into the paint, feeds to the corner. Catch and shoot three on the way from the new Buck, Javon Carter, right in front of his bench, buries it. Another Coors Light three, and the Bucks lead by 3.
Well, there's Javon Carter, some of the offense that he provided this team. We talked a lot about the defense that Javon Carter has brought, but to his offense, he came up with some timely baskets and making some threes tonight as well for Javon Carter. As we mentioned, he attempted 5 threes, so it flies in the face of everything JB told us before the game that the Hornets were having success with. The Bucks checked off all three of those boxes. They out-rebounded the Hornets. They got to the rim. They created easy shots. And they just were able to get off those threes as well with 40-plus threes again. 2 straight games shooting 40% or better from the outside. And 18 made threes in the game tonight. An under-the-radar performance from Giannis, too, who played just 28 minutes, but scored 26, 16 boards, 6 assists, and 4 blocked shots. So since Giannis has entered the league, this is a special occasion for him because, Greg, this is the 50th time in his career he has had a 25-15-5 stat line.
Only?
25 or more points. 25 or more points, 15 or more boards, 5 or more assists. 50th time in his career that he has done it. And, I mean, you joked only, but 48 of those 50 have come basically in the last 4 years, 3.5 years. And if we go back to Bud's arrival in the 2018-19 season, 46 of the 50 have occurred since Mike Budenholzer arrived, that he's had 25 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists. I suppose I should have looked at the blocked shots as well, because 4 blocked shots tonight, it's not a career high for Giannis, but it does match his season high. And, I mean, you watch the game tonight, he just early on was in takeover mode. This is the second time in his career. He's had 25-plus, 15-plus, 5-plus, and 4 or more block shots. Early on, it wasn't necessarily, I don't believe it was Montrezl Harrell that got him going. It was Plumlee in the early going, but the coincidence there being, as Ben Bruss pointed out on the broadcast earlier this year, when Montrezl Harrell was on the Wizards, he seemed to ignite a flame in Giannis and get him going in a game earlier this season. And now, early in this one, you saw Giannis really, really agitated and charged up early. And he was just playing downhill all game. 26 points, 14 of them came at the free throw line. But he was able to create those opportunities. 6 of 8 on his twos. 0 of 2 on three, and for a while he didn't attempt a three in this game, which, you know, I know we dove into that last year of, well, what's the magic number for threes that Giannis should attempt? There isn't one. If he's open, take it. If it's a good look, take it. You know, you certainly don't want to see Giannis getting back to some of those stat lines where he's taken 6 or 7 or 8 threes. I mean, if he's hit 5 or 6 or 7, fine. But there is no magic. Hey, as long as he attempts this many threes, you got to play within the rhythm of the game. But tonight, he wasn't settling for anything. He's playing downhill all night. If he played 30-plus minutes, he's in 30 points. And just the creation that he made for his teammates. Again, as Coach Budenholzer said after the game, he did a great job quarterbacking the offense for this team, getting us in position for those looks. Some of the feeds that he had to Grayson Allen setting him up. Bobby Portis on some looks as well. We saw Chris Middleton. I know both the feeds weren't from Giannis, but we saw Chris Middleton attempt 2 corner threes in this game. He's taken, I believe, 36 corner threes this season in over 300 three-point attempts. So it's a rarity that he takes a corner three in a game, but tonight he took 2 in the same game. And, you know, the constant theme for Giannis and his assists, the continued playmaking, the vision that he has and the way he sees the open floor, that's continued to grow this season. And the other thing we continually point out is he had X amount of assists and this many led to threes. Well, tonight he had 6 assists, 4 of them led to threes, and 2 were to Bobby Portis, as we're continuing to see that duo on the floor together, really figuring things out with the inside-outside game. And by the way, you know, we mentioned stat of the game and everything else that the Bucks did well. We do have to point out, I'm not going to say Bobby Portis is back, but very encouraging what you're seeing from Bobby Portis now in these 2 games played since the All-Star break. He had that stretch during the 4-game road trip out west where he caught fire and then kind of slowed back down once the Bucks returned home for those final 3 games heading into the All-Star break. You knew sooner or later those shots were going to continue consistently falling for Bobby Portis, and that is certainly what we've seen in the 2 games played since the All-Star break. Against the Brooklyn Nets, 8 of 14 on his 3-pointers in that game, and then tonight Bobby Portis, 4 of 7 on threes, 12 of 21 on 3-pointers in his last 2 games. And those 3 games played at home going into the All-Star break, he went 2 of 16. So this was one of those bounce backs you needed from Bobby Portis. A big win for the Bucks, though. 130-106 final score. They take care of the pesky Hornets and now get set for a big matchup with the Miami Heat on Wednesday. I would assume that Miami Heat matchup is the biggest of those 3 that we have just mentioned. Heat, Bulls, and Phoenix Suns. But a lot of difficult games here. Again, 14 in the month of March. What do you expect the Bucks to go with that schedule that we laid out? I did some prognosticating. I'll tell you what my expectations are. And again, mentioned it just a couple of minutes ago. One thing changed tonight versus the previous matchups against the Charlotte Hornets, and you saw why the defense looked a little different against this team. We'll dive into it after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Here's Wara at the top of the arc for the Bucks. He'll give it to Giannis. Giannis on the handoff to Holiday. Holiday's on the right wing. Bounce pass back to Giannis. Sees the opening and flushes it through with a one-hand slam. Oh, baby, that thing was beautiful. Giannis couldn't believe the opening he had in front of him.
Again, 50th time in his career, Giannis had a stat line of 25 or more, 15 or more, 5 or more points, rebounds, and assists. And 46 of those 50 have occurred under Coach Mike Budenholzer. Mentioned one thing was different tonight versus the previous matchups with the Charlotte Hornets this season, at least the recent ones, and that was the inclusion of Drew Holiday. As you go back to earlier this year, the back-to-back games against the Hornets, Drew obviously missed. And in those games, you think about the impact that is lost on the defensive end of the floor. Before the game, as we touched on what James Borrego was having to say about things that the Hornets needed to do, well, he talked a little bit about Drew Holiday as well and how much Drew Holiday changes things. Drew did play in that victory that the Bucks had earlier this season. But again, it's no coincidence. The Bucks won both of those games now that Drew Holiday played in. And what he's been able to do here, 11 points, 7 assists, 4 boards in the first game this season against the Hornets. But tonight, Drew did everything. 0 turnovers, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 21 points. He took 5, made 5, took 8 3-pointers. But the combination of defense, and as we mentioned, James Borrego saying, hey, he changes things. We're a team that loves to run the pick and roll with LaMelo Ball, and especially when we're healthy, guys like Gordon Hayward that we can play big and small. We can do the inverse pick and roll with guys like Miles Bridges and P.J. Washington. The way that LaMelo Ball can play with Terry Rozier in the backcourt, we utilize that pick and roll as good as any team in the league. You can't really do that with Drew Holiday because he can blow those plays up. Think back to some of those big moments we saw in the finals against the Phoenix Suns, at times against the Atlanta Hawks in the conference finals. And as James Borrego said, we love to play north-south and do the pick and roll. We got to play side-to-side when Drew Holiday is on the floor. And I think you saw that large portions of the game tonight, and again, especially that five-man grouping, Drew Holiday, Javon Carter, DeAndre Bembry, Giannis, and Serge Ibaka. Give me more of that, and especially this week. Wednesday against the Heat, Sunday against the Phoenix Suns. I'm not sleeping on that Chicago Bulls matchup, but those two games especially. Give me extended looks with those five guys on the floor and see what that defense can do in generating some of those fast breaks and stops. Think about how important that is. The Bucks were taking the ball out of the net constantly against the Nets. Defense, it fuels everything for this team. We've talked about Coach Mike Budenholzer being a defensive guy. When the defense plays well, you can see why. You get the stops, but that fuels your offense as you're able to get in transition. The Bucks have become a much better half-court team, and they displayed it down the stretch in the playoffs last year. Didn't look as though we'd get there early in the series against the Brooklyn Nets, but they became a better half-court team as the playoffs went on. So you know they have the capability of doing that, but any team that can get in transition, those are the easy baskets, and that's what juices an offense. Defense is how you get in transition, and that's what the Bucks were able to do tonight. Wednesday begins the month of March. Tomorrow begins the month of March, but Wednesday begins the March schedule for the Bucks, and it begins a big stretch. Miami Heat on Wednesday, Chicago Bulls on the road on Friday, and the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. That is a brutal week of games. It does let up a little bit next week, where again you have the Thunder and the Hawks. It's a back-to-back. Those are two teams below 500, but then you go on the road for another four-game West Coast trip or Western Conference trip. Warriors, Jazz, who are playing really well now that they're healthy. Sacramento Kings, who have somewhat been rejuvenated with Domas Sabonis. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are playing very, very well. So this is a tough stretch. 14 games. You got the 6 best teams in basketball on this schedule here for the Bucks, and all of those except for one game. 7 of the 8 against those 6 teams come in the month of March. You got to go 9-5. This team is certainly capable of doing it. You play better competition. It seems to bring out the best in this Bucks team. That may be what they need, but I think there's a little bit of concern. I don't think it's at panic just yet, But you need more performances like this, and you need to piece together a win streak to, I think, alleviate a lot of those concerns for Bucks fans if you're in that group. Give me a 6 or 7 game win streak here in this month against the brutal schedule, and you'll feel a lot better going into the postseason. My thanks to Greg Hill for producing the show tonight and everybody else for hanging out with us for the last hour. We will be back again Wednesday night to recap a big one against the Miami Heat back here on these airwaves with Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're working hard to build wealth for the